Want to go from this to this? Did everything you can, but still not growing profit? Imagine if you can increase your profit, even in the most challenging times, and remove the bottlenecks that are hindering the growth of your business. Get ready to uncovering the keys to boosting your business's profitabilities.
What is profit? Are you making any profit? Eddie, what's profit?
What's profit?
Yeah, the way you explained it at first.
At first?
Yeah.
It's the leftover, basically, after paying everything.
Yeah, that's profit. That's net profit. So we're going to talk about three types of profit. And these are three types that me and Eddie are familiar with, two of these. The last one, we've been just getting into it because we were working on making sure we build our business that can be so. I'm not saying we're trying to sell our business. We just want it to be have options or whatever. Stuff like that. And also, too, you get more money most times we have this way. So the first way that most people probably know, you have net profit. This is just what Eddie talked about. It's what you have at the end of everything. When everything's good to go, and basically you spent everything and what's left. The next thing after that is your gross profit, which me and Eddie realized like this is like the most important thing. This allows you to actually be able to actually have any profit later on there. And the way we kind of went through on these right here was through a lot of the systems that we talked about, which were the driver commission. I hated times without driver's commissions. I'm not going to lie.
Now you look back at the numbers, you're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And now the drivers who do well, I would say, who are good, get paid more. The drivers who are not well, you quickly find them out, like really quickly. And then they usually look at the work team and say, like, dang, I've been here 72 hours to make $400 because you've been here 72 hours doing nothing.
Basically. Yeah, exactly.
Those are the two main ones, the net profit, gross profit that you'll be worried about right now. Your gross profit is basically whatever it costs you to get it delivered and stuff. Your net profit will be everything else, which I think we talked about last time, which was your storage, your labor costs for the whole team, your marketing costs, insurance, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the last one is what we've been actually focusing on a lot more, specifically as we getting bigger and bigger. It's going to be EBITDA, or it's like three different versions. It's like
EBT.
No. Yeah. That's my favorite
one.
Yeah,
right? First of the month, baby.
Yeah. Was it 2-for-1?
Yeah, right.
You know,
half.
No, half. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're 50% off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a caterer, you should buy a whole bunch of EBT cards, and you'd be good to go. EBITDA? What is EBITDA? Who is she?
Who is she? I don't tell my wife about that one. That's fine.
Don't tell her or do tell her?
No, do not. No, okay. Fine.
So don't tell her or do tell her.
Oh, you can tell her.
Okay.
Because everybody needs to know about her.
Everybody needs to know.
It's everything but interest.
Taxes. Depreciation.
Amortization.
Yeah. So Tina, you were an accounting major, and I took like three accounting classes, four maybe. So like, tell us a little bit about EBITDA. What you know? What it's for?
So
don't say anything crazy.
I've taken like two accounting classes. Basically, it's just everything you make minus all the fees that you're going to have to pay. I think this is most important whenever you're taking care of bookwork. It could tell you, you know, different ratios could tell you how well you're performing in your business, just different things like that. I would say it does require a bit more venturing in and actually knowing what each numbers represent. However, since we're just starting off, whatever you guys are using it for, I think all they need to know is the general description for now.
Tina's accounting services, number below. We sell all the services. So basically it's like that. Like same thing she said when she was playing it, everything besides this. And that's just how I learned it from a guy who teaching me some of the stuff about it and everything. But the reason why it is for there is just for people to be able to compare two different businesses and two different industries together. So you can see how much basically cash you get off of it based on what you put into it. That's kind of the general stuff. I think we can go into deeper stuff later on, but that's something else. So that's one thing we're going to be working on and making sure we have this right here, especially as we get into more different, if we take on partners or if we get into more different, we open up another location and stuff too as well. We're going to be looking more into this. But Tina, you was telling us about something crazy. Statistics. I know Tina's statistics beginning you guys make you guys want to quit, but that's why we tell you to do these things.
All right, so the statistic that I have is 50% of businesses fail within the first 5 years due to inadequate profitability.
Man, you'll be coming up on that 5 years on this.
Yeah. I think we're still fighting strong.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they all say.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I can't fight no more. No, but yeah, so I believe that. The only reason why we're in business or anybody's in business to get profit, I don't care what they all say about the other stuff, is for profit. Like, if you went in business for profit, you'll be doing a non-profit. And then we have to watch out for you more because you might be in business for a real profit. Mm-hmm. Tax-free profit.
Tax-free
profit. But, yeah. But, you know, talking about EBITDA and stuff like that, you know, that's going to take time. I'm about to spend some money on that. But you know what is free?
What's that?
It's the ultimate checklist.
Yeah.
Ultimate checklist. No, but as we said, we've been updating this. We got some lot more things coming up in a little bit for the Ultimate Checklist. Eddie, give them a rundown of what they get from the Ultimate Checklist.
I'm going to give you a lot of strategies that me and Xavier have worked on that we actually practical that we use in our business currently. And a lot of the new things and new tactics that we learn, even up to date, because we're going through new experiences and new things are happening. So this thing's jam-packed full of information. Check out the Ultimate Checklist.
Yeah, so let us know if you need anything on that. Get the Ultimate Checklist right now. So now that you know if you're making any money and you're profitable now or not, hopefully you're in at least some profitability. If you're in the not profitable, then, like, you know, what are you doing? You haven't got the Ultimate Checklist? What's going on? So, Eddie, time for them to increase revenue.
Ooh, my favorite.
So what's some strategies to increase revenue?
I mean, a lot of good things. Once we have the customers, I mean, we can do my favorite part is upsell.
Upsell. Okay.
Upsell them.
Okay, so let's go through this upsell section right now. So what are the different types of sell?
I mean, like, we can do, like, add-on games if they have, like a party. We can do linens for weddings. We can do, you know, utensils, silverware, well, they're about the same, glassware, all that good stuff. Like, little things they can just add on, you know, they increase the price of the total ticket.
Okay.
So actually, I'm sorry. Let me add on to this.
Oh, who's that? Is Tina starting to jump inside the podcast and ask questions?
Oh, so I'm actually, yeah. Okay. So something to bring to your attention. So let's say we're upselling. That means we're adding other categories on that people might want. So let's say, what if someone is at a spot where they're unable to add these categories on? How will upselling work then?
Okay. So... okay, so let's try to figure out a situation where they wouldn't happy. So only one situation, you don't have the money. So that's the only situation I can think of there. And the reason why you don't have the money is because you're not profitable because you haven't watched this video all the way through. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. Second thing would be, let's say that you don't in your plan, you don't have money to spend on any other stuff. And say you just have chairs and tables. Let's say that.
Yep.
Well, what you could do, and I think we talked about this for her, you can partner with another company that has the equipment. And then you can do a sublease, or you can partner with them and just rent the stuff out to them.
Yeah.
But a couple of things we do currently right now that we don't have is that we sell portable restrooms, mm-hmm. literally like a couple each week. We don't own any portable restrooms at all. These that I know of. Did you buy some?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Probably put on the card. Like, what do we got? Portable restrooms.
So we don't own any portable restrooms, but we rent, I think, like this one every other week or so. We have a client that we do some stuff with. Not the same time, but different clients. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a quick upsell that you can do. The next thing I would say is, so we did upsell, downsell. Explain the downsells a little bit, Eddie.
Yeah, so just like an instance, like we have...
Eddie downsold me. Like me, actually me, not like sold something to me.
Yeah. But, yeah, some instances like, you know, if the budget's not where it needs to be, you know, we might have to downsell them on a different option. More, what's it, budget friendly, like maybe some chairs or some tables or...
Was that the Michelle Obama thing? She says when they go high, we go low. It's like that, but it's for probably. But when they go low, we go lower too. We sell them other stuff too. And when they want, when that budget high, we put them chairs up high.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can do that. So that also work out. For, continue.
Well, that's pretty much, you know, the downsells that we do. I mean, we don't ever. If they're like, hey, I want a 40x80, and we're like, no, you really need a 20x20. We don't ever do nothing like that, unless we knowingly know that, you know, that's not what they need. But sometimes they do come up with that, but that's pretty much on the downsell, just to lower the, you know, just to make the sale. Because, you know, every client that comes in, we spend some type of money or time on them. So sometimes it's better to get the sale and then, you know, lose the potential.
Yeah. I think with tents, my favorite one is actually cross sales. Because, like, sometimes people come and ask for things that you don't specifically have, but you have something else that can solve the solution. Mm-hmm. Like, we have someone who came and asked for a 30 by 60. So we don't have any 30 wides currently at the moment right now. This might be different depending on when you watch this, but at the moment we didn't have no 30 by 60s. So the customer came and asked for it. And then what we offered them was we told them we can do a 20 by 60, or we can do a 40 by 40 or 40 by 60, something like that. And then they took one of those options. It's a good cross sell because you can always sell something that you don't. If someone asks for something, you can sell something else. Like sometimes people ask for, hey, do you have some crossback chairs? Like, no, we might not have, or we don't have enough of them. And then we'll sell them some Ferrari chairs. Mm-hmm. So you can sell stuff of similar of quality that solves the same issue. So my next one is like, so we said cross sales, down sales, cross sales, and you can do all these kind of together. You can't do up down sell. I don't know if that works.
No,
I guess you can.
I guess you alternate. They lose this, they down sell them this, and then upsell them on a different product.
Yeah,
but then it'll be kind of like almost like a cross.
Yeah. So I guess you could do like a. Technically, I think we should do upsells, downsells, cross-sells, and add-ons. Technically, should be this thing. I think add-ons technically should be separate.
No.
Because if you think about it, I was thinking about this situation we're talking about. It's almost a farm table. Mm-hmm. But if they want a nice table, the easiest way to get nicer tables is to do a cross-down, which would be linens on a regular table.
Yeah.
And so that'll give you an add-on and also give you what you call it, but you might not can sell the farm tables. And on the farm tables, usually people want, it's two different, most times people sit with farm tables, they'll sit the fruit wood garden chairs or brown garden chairs, and they'll sit the crossbacks. So those are usually the kind of the three options. So the next thing to increase revenue, and this is the thing that me and Eddie have been using a lot more, just increase ads. Just increase how many ads you put out there, what ads for, and increase the budget on the ads.
Yeah.
I think for most times it's the simplest thing to do. If your ads are converting and you are converting the leads over to sales, that can be the easiest thing. Because most times you just need more leads. Because most times in your problem for increasing revenue, you need more leads or you need to convert more of your leads over. Those are really the only two ways to generally grow your revenue. All the other ways or tactics to get around it. So either you need to stop converting at 10% of your leads to sales and move that to 30-40%, or offer or start offering something that people can't refuse, like we did with free delivery. Not saying you should offer free delivery, I'm just saying when you're starting out and you want to get your feet wet and it's just you, it's a really good way to build up clientele really fast and to get stuff going. The only problem is that some clients are only with you because of it's free.
Yeah.
But that's just a general way. So upsell. So next thing is going to be, which we've been playing around with a couple of things, increasing price and decreasing price. Mm-hmm. So depending on what you're doing. Like, we have, like, the pipe and drapes.
Yeah.
I know for a while, Eddie was like, we need to stop renting these. Remember what you kept saying?
Yeah. We got a good amount of them in now. But I think he mentioned probably decrease the price on that because we had it so high that we said if we do sub-rent it, it's going to be profitable, you know, to do that. So now that we have it in-house, we can decrease the price down to... kind of compete with all our local people.
Yeah, and then we'll be able to get more. And so we'll get the same people we had before, but we'll get it rented out more and get all of them rented out on a regular basis. I think that'll help us out. But some products you have, like we have like when you have less of an item, you need to raise that price up. So like we only have one 20 by 30 and because we're trying to get rid of it. But we're going to move from it.
Yeah.
Maybe we might do a pole tent version of it or something. But the frame tent version is very hard. It doesn't work in our system. Could we easily have a one-person system or a four-person system? And the pole tent needs like two people. It doesn't fit in the system. We don't have a good way to do it. And we'll have to change the system up. Now, for that one right there, we increased our prices up because we only have one that we're offering. So we just charge more. We make more money because we only have one. And it's easier to place and get one to sell than to try to increase the price and sell a little bit of items. So if you only have one of the items, we have less than items, you can raise the price for those up so you can get the most out of it, especially if you're not planning to get more in there. Like, even on some of the bounce houses that we still do offer, or the one bounce house we offer, that price is higher than what you can get somewhere else. But the thing is, it's an add-on item, so when people don't have to go to two places. And sometimes we realize that a 50% price difference is not a difference with people, someone going somewhere else. So that's another one. So these last two is probably the ones that most people kind of go into. Increasing inventory, how much inventory you have. It doesn't directly increase sales unless you get more leads. But if you're missing out on orders, stuff like that, that's the easiest lever to pull. Pull that lever. I wish we had like a little lever button. Then you just pull the levers and you go from it. Then after that is, which we've been kind of going through, is variation. Like if you look at our website and stuff like that, we have like tons of variation. We have projectors. We literally had no projector not too long ago. And somehow we got three.
We got three now?
Yeah, three now. Oh, yeah. We bought them on sale.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And then they all came in the same day when they weren't supposed to come in. We got them in the 6-hour period. We had the whatever. And I was thinking, like, we might need returning. I was thinking, we're returning. The next thing I know, we're looking back at the same thing.
Yeah, like, we need three projectors.
Again. Remember, we had a corporate event, and usually one of the corporate events that's coming up in the fall for us, we have kind of big time for us, is that everyone wants to do some type of projector and the projector screens. And then what they rent out is the projector, and they rent the projector screen out. And then they have to rent something out to put the projector on, which is good. And then you need speakers to tie to the projector. You see, you start just adding stuff up to start making less money. Next thing you go from $200 projector rentals to $100 or $40 projector thing to the speakers, the other stuff. You're at $700-$600 now.
Yeah.
And that's added onto every single order that you're doing, that you're already doing, the tables, the chairs, the tents, the linens, the dishware. It just adds. This is great add-ons. The AV world is amazing. So those are the two events. You can just increase in variation. There's no like decrease in variation that gets you more money. Mm-hmm. I know some people might say that maybe you can market more if you can focus on it, but I have yet to see one of those where someone pull it off in this industry at this point. And then the inventory limits. And like for us right now, what's the biggest thing like limiting us inventory wise?
It just varies, to be honest with you, because like we get so many offers, like this random stuff. Like one thing, right now, it would be tents. I think we're really limited. I mean, we're getting bombarded with requests for tents. We had more tents. We can get it done.
It was like 20. I think like we had like we need 20 extra, 24 extra 20x20s.
Yeah.
And we can sell this deal.
And then there was another one for like 50.
50. And then there was one for 100. I think it's 100 10x10s or something crazy too.
Yeah. So we had like 200 10x10s. It would be perfect. We can service everybody that put in requests this last week. Yeah. But I think that's the main thing that's kind of holding back. Tents are really starting to fly off the shelves.
Yeah.
All right. So the statistic that I have for us today is increasing customer retention rates by 5% can boost profits by 25 to 95%.
Yeah, I can see that because usually the easy way to increase profit is just to get that extra little bit. And most times those items don't cost that much. Like I've seen with like, what do you call those little mug things that your cousin sells?
What's that?
The mason jar mugs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and those people rent out for basically the same cost.
Yeah. But customer retention?
Yeah. And just getting more of customers coming
back. That's one thing that we did recently with the cards and everything, like sending out for with the Starbucks card. We're trying to retain those customers that's already done business with us.
Yeah, so that's gonna work out too. So now that you don't increase your revenue, you don't understand what profit level you're at, if you're not profitable or profitable, most of you guys pretty sure are profitable, now we're going to actually cut these costs. Now, this is like Eddie's favorite section. He'd be like, cut them, cut them.
Yeah, I'm the bad guy. Cutting
your
costs.
What?
I'm the bad guy on this one because I'm always cutting costs and stuff like that.
No.
Oh, what?
You cut what?
Cost.
What cost do you cut?
Well, generally, I go straight for the labor.
Oh.
Yeah.
You fired my mom.
No, I didn't fire your mom. No. What I do is I go straight and I see where the inefficiencies are and I improve upon it. So, like,
who are you going to fire here?
No, I think we already got to take care of. But, but the main thing is what I do is I just see, like, what the operation, how it looks, how things are being done, how long. This is the main thing. I time everything. I see, like, how long things are taking. I get an average. I see what could come in place in order to cut the costs in the long run. It's kind of like the machines and stuff like that, the tools that we have, all these things, even though you may look at the big dollar price, I look at it as a longevity, like what is it going to do for the company as far as the cost, you know, whether it's be the quarter or the whole year. But those are the things that I look at when running operations.
Go into some of those costs.
What's that?
Like, go into some of the costs. Like, what stuff you look at specifically?
Well, the labor costs, you know, fuel costs. Sometimes the routes will be, I know in the beginning, the routes were looking a little crazy and they'll be all over the place, but we got to kind of narrow it down. So we'll have it where people will sweep through an area and we'll knock off a delivery first and then go ahead and gather up everything that we can in that specific area. Certain vehicles perform better than others in certain situations, so we'll try to assign them accordingly. Little things like that that we're doing to try to just cut costs and also time.
Yeah. So I think especially when you're starting out and stuff like that, when you guys are starting out, what's the first thing would you say it should be the thing they use to cut costs?
The first thing?
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
Hey, there's no, it's just them.
It's just them? Well, first thing I would do is I'd get tools because, like, they're so helpful, like dollies. They're going to save you and you're going to be able to do more. Because, like, one thing, like, I think we both know, is when you're muscle manning it by yourself, you know, the more trips you have, the more tired you get. But if you have something that's holding all this weight and you can make the trip, you know, walking these things back, you know, the backyard or the garage or what have you, you know, cut the trip in half and you're going to save time and you're now going to be able to do more work and make more sales. Because I know one of the limiting factors, you're like, okay, well, how many realistically deliveries or, you know, events can I do a week or a day or what have you? And then, you know, if it's low, then you say, hey, if I add this specific tool, it'll increase that by, you know, one a day or something like that, two a day, which is great for us in profitability because that means now we can make more sales.
Yeah. So name five.
What?
Five tools they should start with.
Five tools?
Yeah.
Well, I think a dolly for sure, like a two-wheel dolly.
First, I thought you said a doggy. I was like,
doggy.
Like, how's this gonna work out?
He's there for when you're crying and you're like, oh, I'm not gonna make it through the day. And you're hugging your dog.
He'll be there.
Yeah, right. And he's like, I don't either. So you figure it out. I'm just kidding. No, not a dog, but a dolly, a two-wheel dolly. Those things come in handy. The bounce house guys, they use them all the time. If you have the extra, you know, money, then go with the electric. But for us, you know, they do tables and chairs and stuff like that, or even tents or, you know, cocktail tables. That thing comes in so handy. So many times that, like, I'm going up on elevators, if I didn't have this thing, I'll be very limited on the amount of things that I can move around. And then after that, I would say, like, the four-wheel dolly, a good one, too. You can put tables on there, chairs, a lot of things you can use that. It's very versatile. And sometimes when you're in a bind, you know, it helps you, you know, get the things done. Same thing if you're putting up tents, you know, a tent jack and stuff like that. Those things, they really help out because that way you don't have to push everything up by force. You can just, you know, put, you know, jack that thing up and put your poles in and whatnot. That'll save on your energy, which is very valuable the later the day goes.
Yeah, man, so your favorite tool.
What's that, ratchet
strap? That is a tool.
Yeah.
What's your two favorite tools? The tools you use, I think that you want, like, Liftgate.
Oh, yeah, Liftgates, yeah.
Liftgate, and then that expensive paperweight that at first I used to call it a paperweight.
Oh, the forklift?
I used to call it paperweight at first. Forklift? Because it didn't work.
Yeah, well, if they're by themselves just starting off, I highly doubt they're going to get a forklift.
Yeah. Why don't we get a forklift so far early?
Because it was a good price. I knew we were going to need it. And
I think it was now, like $10,000. It was a good price.
Every day we're using that.
We're using it now, yeah. At first, remember when it didn't work? And I
told you.
Yeah, I was like, but I think we just had to put some water in the things or something.
Yeah, the cells just needed water. Happened? They were dry.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are pretty handy. But, yeah, for sure, ratchet straps as well. Like, those things are so, like, open, holding doors open. You just put a strap on it, put it on the gate. There's a lot of tricks you can use with ratchet straps, but they're really cheap, too. You can buy a pack for, like, $12. But I'm pretty sure everybody.
I'm pretty sure everybody doesn't.
Oh, well.
Where at?
Well, I always buy them all at Harbor Freight. That's the cheapest.
Yeah. And, for people in Florida, Harbor Freight's there. What's the three tools that we need right now that you want to see us get?
Well, I want that. I want that. I think the very top one on my list is the table and chair washer. I think it's at the top of my list right now, just because, like, I see the value of it, you know, basically going to cut the labor costs, because now I can just put two people on it and knock it out. But now, you know, when these things come back in and like thousands and thousands of chairs, it takes the time. It takes a good while to power wash everything, let it dry, put it back up, and then a lot of things are just getting in the way. So a fast solution, I really, that's at the top of my list. I want to get that going.
Yeah. What else?
Let's see. Well, we bought some pallets already, pallet racks. Let's see.
We should get that iron. I think like that, just that long ironing thing. So you don't have to iron it by hand.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to just fold them, I guess.
Yeah. That's good, too. But I think we can still go a little bit longer without that. Just because, I don't know, the ladies do a very good job at just knocking those things out by hand.
Maybe they do more.
And they probably could do more. But I just think at this point, like, we need to focus on other things. So it's not the highest of my priority.
Mm-hmm. So the highest is the chair. How much is the chair washer?
I think it's like $10,000 and some change or something.
I thought it was $6,000. You want the super?
I want the premium one. They dries it too.
No. I think the dryer is extra.
Yeah,
but $14,000.
Yeah, but other than that, and then also another box truck with a lift gate. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and a good worker.
And a good worker. Yeah,
to get on top of it.
Yeah. But besides that, it's also cutting costs on things that are unnecessary, you know. So if you're buying breakfast for everybody in the morning, you want to go and cut those things out.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, just managing your costs, keeping your costs under certain percentages. Like we have right here, just tracking your labor expenses to the earned revenue from a driver's perspective and for a warehouse perspective. Keeping your, you know, first of all, before anything, if you've seen the last episode, just track your expenses at all will help you out. So just going out there, just tracking how much you're spending will allow you to be able to see what's going on. And then keeping your rent, like we said, under 5%, keeping your vehicle expenses under 5% if possible, which I know ours are probably less than that, but partially more. Well, who knows? Mm-hmm. And then and just keeping your marketing between like 10-15%, depending on what time of year it is. Kind of the general stuff, then you'll stay profitable. But if you stay in those main categories, do you remember those six categories we said? We said team, transportation, storage, marketing, insurance. What's the last one? You don't remember?
You got me. You lost me on the third one.
Oh, but it was team, transport, storage, marketing, insurance, and there was one more that I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, help us out, audience.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, put it down right there. But there's one more. I'm losing our train of thought right now. But there's one more, six of them. But as long as you match those areas and you decide, tools. So if you look at it, and your tools should not be 20-30%. And you know, in case you very early on, but like if you're already making $10,000-$20,000, you should not be spending, you know, $22,000 on tools every single month. Mm-hmm. And that mean it's not that many tools that you need.
Yeah.
But you know, some of these costs may be higher at the beginning. But I think just staying at the level, understanding your expenses and then understanding your revenue and keeping your expenses at your revenue level. So don't go out there and try to do something crazy, try to be flashy, try to go buy a box shop and put your name all on the side of it, you know, and do something crazy and all that stuff like that, or go try to rent a space that you can't afford or anything like that.
All right. So the statistic that I have for us today is a 10% reduction in costs can result in a profit increase of 50%.
This is true.
Sorry, guys, we're no longer doing the show. So, Eddie, where are we going to put our money at?
Oh, usually the banks is where it holds all our money.
Do you have a bank account or using your same personal account, putting your stuff on Cash App and stuff like that? If you're doing that, you need to get Novo Bank. Novo Bank is a business banking software that you can use. You can do it all online and set it up. It's free for you to use. And if you sign up with our link, you get $50 in your first 30 days, I think, if you have $100. That you put in there. I'm looking for Eddie for insurance, but Eddie's like, put the money where it's supposed to go, in the bank. And separate your bank accounts, please. Don't be that person. Now that you have every single, all that stuff down, you know, if you're profitable or not profitable, you hopefully fixed it by now, raise your revenue, and then you decrease your costs. Now we're gonna talk about the next level. So this is only level 10 stuff right here for you guys. So if you're not level 10, keep watching still, even if you're not. Please, we need that watch time. If you made this right here, put level 10. Got something special for you. So this is for the 10Xs right here. So if you're looking to actually expand, the next level you need to do is that once you got one of these working, and usually it takes a while to get one of these working, and you might need to at least be over $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million in revenue, something along that lines. You choose which one you want to kind of do yourself. You need to now look into expanding new markets. So it's two ways you can do this. You can do this. One way is doing it locally with the office you already have, which is just expand your delivery print of where you deliver to. Even though right now you should be delivering anyway, anywhere, as long as they pay for it and the mileage and stuff adds up, just deliver to them. The second way is going to be that you need to go to a new actual area. Take your same operation, bring it to an area, preferably something that's like an hour or 2 hours away. So that's the first kind of thing to go into the actual the marketing, right, to expand your marketing reach.
Yeah.
So, Eddie, talk to him about, because we're about to set up another shop pretty soon, hopefully, God willing, as they say it.
Yeah, we've done that before. We had one in Austin. We were running remotely. And just like you said, it's a big, it's a big strategic advantage because you know, you have both of them running and they're bringing in lots of cash flow. And the one thing that I've noticed is like some will hit different times than the other one will. It's kind of weird, but depending on your demographic and everything like that, because like if the weather's not that good in one area, but over there it's, you know, perfect weather, that thing's still bringing in cash flow. Because I think we all know that, you know, bad weather like greatly impacts our industry. So like, you know, you have you know, the other operation running smoothly over there with good weather, it's gonna continue bringing money, while this one, you know, gets some bad weather, it might slow down a little bit. So
yeah, but if you're not profitable, don't go to another place. Yeah. Now you have two places that are not unprofitable and two places trading you. Yeah.
I would hope that would make that decision being unprofitable. I'm like, you know what? I think the grass is greener on the other side.
Let's double or nothing this right here.
Put it all in, baby.
Yeah. So don't do that. But this is pretty straightforward. When you get this point here, you just need to keep doing what you're already doing and do it, put it into a new area.
Yeah.
And just do it more. And really, if you want to keep expanding your market, you can go to different categories of stuff, or you can go into further your reach and your delivery, or go to a whole different market.
Yeah.
Right now, I think we're getting to the point where we're going to go to another market again, and we're going to do that.
Yeah. And another thing, you don't necessarily have to take the whole blunt effort of doing that. You can start like a partnership as well, if that's something that you think you're capable of doing. And then that way, you know, maybe they're already in that area, and you have an operation that's doing well, and you know, you got everything all as far as budgeting down. And you just share them that information and like what you could do, and then, you know, obviously they'll be in that area. It's kind of like a franchise almost. I'd say you have something to offer, they have something to offer, and then y'all both have certain risks, so y'all gonna both do the best that you can in order to make that specific location profitable.
All right, the statistic that I have for us is 53% of small businesses expect to expand their customer base in the next year.
If you're part of that 47% that doesn't expand, then you need to begin the ultimate checklist right now and get right on the ads and start pushing them out right there. Yeah, but that's interesting statistics. I think most people should be looking for, and hopefully if you're watching this right here, I'm pretty sure you're part of that 53 who is looking at growing and expanding your business. So check out the ultimate checklist, a lot of stuff in there. Make sure you actually go through and read it. Some of you guys get it and then you're like, read one thing, use it, and then don't come back. Like, read the thing, go through it, look at the problems, look at the stuff that's going on, look in the FAQ section. And like really work through it. Like you need to actually implement some of these things into your business so you can grow. Don't just take a little bit. Take more than a bit. Don't take a spoonful.
Oh yeah, an hour a day. And these things are like, it's very valuable, the information here. And once again, it's free. It doesn't cost anybody anything but their time.
Yeah. So what do you say? An hour a day, keep the broke people away.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, or the brokenness away, not broke people. You're not going to, broke people going to keep, it's like attraction.
They're going to keep coming?
They're going to keep coming. But that's a good thing. I mean, you're doing well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we ain't get no broke people here, but but they do come.
All right. So the next segment is the rental rundown. The first question that I have for you guys is, what do you think is the most important practice to grow business profits?
Mitigating costs, unnecessary costs.
Yeah. Because like it was one thing, I think in the beginning we were like, oh, this is what we have to have, and then when you take a step back, you're like, wait, we never needed that. Look how much money we wasted.
Three people in the van.
Yeah, that was never my idea. But yeah, stuff like that. If you can make good, smart decisions, and you're gonna go very far.
All right. So the second question that I have is, what are some factors that may stunt business growth?
Running out of money, not having enough money, no profit. No innovation, not trying to grow. Basically, anything you can think of that's a bad business would do is kind of on that thing. And you should do the opposite of what that bad business would do. not investing in yourself, taking all the cash out, using the money for stuff that had nothing to do with the business. Keeping, I don't know, there's a lot of things you can do. Making poor decisions on a lot of things. Now, I'm not saying trying to get on nobody. We've done some stuff too as well in the past and stuff. And some, who knows, might be doing some stuff now. We're going to say in the past what we're doing. It's always 2020.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing is like you said, taking the money out prematurely, like plucking the fruits of the tree too early. I see that happen a lot. And then, you know, they're wondering why they're not growing because they're just taking too much. And so maybe like budgeting themselves on that, or have a realistic goals of what the company can do with what it's got. And you have, you know, basically for purchasing power and buying equipment and stuff like that for the future.
But thank you guys so much for watching this right now. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we are the Rental Boys, and we really appreciate you guys watching. Make sure you get the Ultimate Checklist. Tina appreciates you too, I'm pretty sure. She appreciates you guys watching. So check this out. And then watch one of these videos we have somewhere on the screen somewhere. And make sure you subscribe and like to this. And if you got to the end, you're a real one, and let us know. You know, and we appreciate that. And we'll answer any emails you send out to us. So put down the real ones. But one of these videos. Yeah, the one over Eddie's face. The best.